Angel fans, our Halo signed Zach Plesac to a major league deal. It feels like a low risk, high reward kind of signing. So how many of these low risk, high reward signings have actually worked out for the Halos? Let's talk about that. It's time to get locked on with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SiriusXM by searching Locked On Angels. And if you want to get back to the Super Halo Bros for all the Super Halo content, here's some things that you can do. Leave us a rate and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. And if you're not subscribed already, please subscribe and become a Locked On Everydayer. And whether you're watching or listening, come over to YouTube, leave a comment. It's one of the best ways to get in touch with us and be a part of the conversation. And today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. You can make every moment more with FanDuel. And right now, new customers like you can get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Angels. Happy New Year to everybody. This is the first episode of Locked On Angels of 2024. You've got the Frisch Brothers here with you, aka the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Hey, a couple quick show notes right off the bat. Next week, we'll get back to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. But this week, of course, you can expect episodes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And of course, that Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule will take us up to right before spring training, where we will be back for 5 days a week as we gear up for the 2024 season. Second note of the day, Mike, is that we are still up for the Sports Podcast Awards for Best Baseball Podcast. So head on into the episode description below, click that link, and throw a vote our way. We would really appreciate that. It'd be the best way to help out the show and help us out, right?
Johnny, and a quick shout out to our Locked On Everydayers. We, this last year, we rose in viewers and in listeners.
That's right.
56%.
Wow.
And so we grew that much because of you. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We're honored to be a part of the Angels community, even though the Angels are not honored to have us.
Right? Not so much, right? Hey, on today's show, we're going to take a look at how Cody Bellinger benefited from the Angels' new hitting coach, Johnny Washington, and how the Halos could use more of the same in 2024. Also, is the pressure to win gone now that Ohtani is gone, and it's no longer about getting Trout and Ohtani to the playoffs? But first, Mike, the Angels made a signing over the weekend, that being Zach Plesac, formerly of the Guardians, right?
Yeah, he signed, right-handed pitcher, signed with the Angels. He spent the last five seasons with the Cleveland Guardians from 2019 to 2023. He's appeared in 84 games, Johnny, 83 career starts, with an ERA of 4.20 across 466 and two-thirds innings. Johnny, this is a major league deal, not a minor league deal.
Yeah.
And that's a major big deal, I think. And there's a few reasons why. We'll get into that in just a moment, but let me give you some background on Plesac. He's really struggled the last few years. Was great with the Guardians when he first came up, had a lot of potential after the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. But then he really began to struggle, Johnny, heading into 21 and in 22. Last year, just 1-1 in five starts with a 7.59 ERA. Oof. And a WHIP at almost 1.97. He got optioned to AAA on May 4th, and it didn't get any better.
No.
5-6 with a 6.08 ERA, 268 batting average, opponent's batting average against him in 19 appearances and 18 starts. Johnny, he's just really struggled. Now, he hasn't necessarily struggled with his pitches. He's had a great repertoire of pitches, and he's thrown them pretty well when he first started, but then it really started to fall off later on. He throws a fastball, a slider, a changeup, and his fastball was between 90 and 93. It's got good ride. His slider is kind of what they call a gyro slider.
Mm-hmm.
Often doesn't have any inches of horizontal break, which mm-hmm. could potentially be the problem. And then he's got a changeup, which he mostly throws to left-handed hitters. And Johnny, Locked On Hall of Famer Brent McGuire tweeted about this signing, and he had some interesting things to say. Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, Brent said that he was surprised that Plesac got an MLB deal. with the Angels. The underlying numbers never really supported the low ERA from 2019 to 20, and things have snowballed since then. He's still just 28 and throws a ton of strikes, but everything else looks pretty rough. As others pointed out, having options makes this deal more sensible. Doesn't hurt to have a depth option who was able to eat some innings prior to last season. Mike, is this a low-risk, high-reward kind of signing? Do you think that the Angels think that Barry Enright can work with him? Why do you see the Angels, or why do you think the Angels made this signing?
I wonder if there's some thought with Barry Enright, and they believe that he can do something with a guy like Zach Plesac. You had mentioned that Plesac would be a great signing as a minor league signing for this team.
That is something that for tomorrow's show, I put the notes together last week for the show, and as we were going through, hey, who are some guys that can help the starting rotation kind of fill out the number of innings that they need? I thought Zach Plesac would be a great minor league deal.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy who's been in the majors before. I also thought Chris Flexen, who just got a major league deal with the White Sox, would have been a great minor league deal.
Right.
So stuff like that. You want guys who have been there before to just eat up innings, right? And so I had Plesac on a minor league deal. Surprised he got a major league deal from the Angels. But as Brent mentioned, and as we tweeted over the weekend, having the two options that Zach Plesac has makes this more tolerable. It makes the medicine go down better. Still would have liked a minor league deal, but if you see guys like him and Flexen getting major league deals, you probably need to up the competition a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I think that you need to offer a major league deal. Again, the minor options give him some flexibility. So the Angels don't have to have him on their 26-man roster coming into the season. He might not even be with the Angels to start the season. And that's something I would hope for, that we're not in a situation where Zach Plesac needs to be in this rotation. But you got to have a guy like this to eat innings, especially with five starters who, again, I'll mention it tomorrow, have never hit more than 180 innings, and that's Tyler Anderson. The rest of the guys are all very young, and the highest number of innings that was pitched last year was Reed Detmers with 148 and two-thirds innings pitched. So you need guys like this to spread the wealth of innings that are going to need to be pitched in 2024. But I don't see this. Well, I guess I'll say this. There was a lot of talk about, well, here we go, more Artie Moreno scraping the bottom of the barrel and getting guys on these comeback deals. But I don't necessarily think that's what this is. I don't think that they're expecting Plesac to be in the five-man rotation because he's not better than anybody in the five-man rotation right now. And that could certainly change. But this to me is exactly the kind of move the Angels should make. Again, I would have given him a minor league deal. Who knows what the inner workings are? Because again, you see similar pitchers who have struggled getting major league deals as well. So I just think that this is a guy who's going to come in and give you a couple starts and eat some innings, especially if there's an injury. You're going to want somebody who's got major league experience to go up there and get you, you know, four, five, six innings to start a game.
To talk about Barry Enright and to answer your question, I think that Barry does bring off obviously a whole lot of credibility. He saw something in Reed Detmers and mentioned it. He thinks that Reed is going to be somebody that's going to be a great starter for the Angels and perhaps maybe be the ace of the staff if they don't bring in somebody. And then he also saw something in Griffin Canning last year as the Diamondbacks were playing against the Angels, and Griffin Canning struggled in the first inning, and then he really pushed through to go, I think, seven innings in that game after giving up four or five runs in the first couple of innings. And I think Enright maybe sees something in Zach Plesac. And to have these reclamation projects, I guess it brings back some PTSD for me as an Angel fan and also for Angel fans, right? Because we've seen this play out before. Now, we're not, to your point, going to rely on Plesac like we were relying on
Matt Harvey.
Thank you.
Like, Julie Chacin and Trevor Cahill. Yes. That's the difference here, Mike, is that when they signed Matt Harvey, it was for a rotation spot.
Yeah.
When they signed Trevor Cahill, it was for a rotation spot. In fact, Trevor Cahill was the opening day starter.
Yeah.
And Ulysses Chacin was meant to be in this rotation. And I don't think that this is a signing where Plesac automatically gets into the rotation. Now, if he shows up in spring training and they like what they see, I'm sure they'll consider that. But it's just, to me, this is not the same as like a Matt Harvey or a Chacin or a Cahill, because you're right. We've done this thousands of times. You know, Joe Blanton wasn't necessarily a reclamation project, but he was like the worst free agent pitcher that they could have signed. And that's who they brought in 2013. And I understand the PTSD here. I understand Angel fans' insecurities here that, oh, is this all they're going to do is just sign guys like this? Well, maybe, because they might like who they have in the five-man rotation. Now, all indications are is that they want to add to the rotation. We've seen them attached to pitching names. They just got mentioned again to be in on some pitching the other day. But all of that to say, I don't see this as a Matt Harvey kind of deal, because, again, he's not figuring into this rotation. The Angels have five better starters than Plesac. That's not to say that they have five tremendous starters, but that is to say that all five of those guys, I would give the ball to every fifth day over Zach Plesac, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And for somebody like Plesac to come in, there's always conversations about like change of scenery. Perhaps that's going to be good. Having Barry in right around, that's going to be good for him. And I know that there's this wrestling match that we have with low risk, high reward guys. And as you mentioned, the difference between Plesac and those guys is that he's not coming in to be in this rotation. He's coming in to fill in that Jaime Barria role. And with Jaime Barria, they weren't able to send him down. They had to keep him on the major league roster. Yeah. Plesac has two options. And so this will give them a lot of flexibility with the roster. And that's where all these signings really point to in the last few weeks, is it's roster flexibility. And that's really what Perry is going after. Sure, I'd love for him to go after a couple of really great arms in the starting rotation and in the bullpen. But right now, we've got some roster flexibility, which the Angels didn't have last season, to be able to give them the ability to say, we want this guy up and not this guy, or we have depth here if somebody gets hurt. And you brought up a whole different point in this conversation that we're going to probably have to discuss later on, not maybe on this show, but on a later show, is that, is Perry cool with these five guys in the starting rotation, right? Is he okay with that? Which I think is an interesting question. And initially, because of the lack of action, I think the answer is, yeah, I think he's really got some high hopes. And maybe that's because Barry Enright is the pitching coach and why they brought in a guy like Plesac, because maybe they think that Barry can figure something out with him, or perhaps Barry already has figured something out. Hey, get that guy, bring him in, and we're going to turn him into somebody that will be very beneficial for our team.
I want to zoom out a little bit too and just say you need innings, and we're going to talk all about that tomorrow. But in a world where Lucas Giolito gets almost $20 million a year, Mike, after the performance he had last year, it's because he hit almost 185 innings. Like I think almost 190 innings.
Yeah.
That's why guys are getting deals like that. And so to me, even though this is a major league deal, those two options make this a lot easier to stomach. Again, we're not tooting the horn of Zach Plesac, but I'm just trying to explain that's what this is for. It's to have a guy who's been in the majors before do it. Otherwise, you're relying on guys that you've never seen in the major leagues before, which isn't always a bad thing, but at least the Angels have some depth that they can turn to, as you mentioned. Hey, we want to thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen every single day. We're just getting started here on Locked On Angels. Coming up, how did hitting coach Johnny Washington help Cody Bellinger last season as an assistant hitting coach? And now that he's our head hitting coach, is he going to help make the Angels better in 2024? We'll talk about that coming right up.
Hey, today's show is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. With the NFL regular season wrapping up, there's still some time to get in on all of the action with FanDuel. They're America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers like you can get $150 in bonus bets. Get this, guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. So $150 in bonus bets, guaranteed with just a $5 bet.
I don't even have to win?
You don't have to win. You don't have to lose. You could just place a bet, and that's $150 in bonus bets. Win or lose. And
I
so
love it.
Now's the right time to use FanDuel. The app's really easy to use. So many different ways to use it and to bet, like same game parlays or find bets in the new Explore tab, or you can make a parlay in the Parlay Hub. You can look up what parlay means on FanDuel. If you don't know what that means, it's actually one of the most popular bets on FanDuel right now is the parlays, and they have so much more. So go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to make your first bet. Again, $5. Win or lose, you get $150 in bonus bets. That's FanDuel, the official betting partner of the NFL.
The Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Speaking of your team every day, Everydayers, Locked On Podcast Network has launched the very first 24/7 sports streaming channel on YouTube. They're covering all the sports, all the biggest stories across the sports world, 24/7, 365 on Locked On Sports Today. So head on over on YouTube to Locked On Sports Today, and you can find everything you need there, from the national shows to the local experts of Locked On. Head on over there on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and be part of the first ever 24/7 national sports streaming channel.
John, there's been a lot of heartbreak when it comes to Shohei Ohtani leaving the Angels and going to the Dodgers. In fact, yesterday I was at an outdoor mall with my family, and there was a Dodgers store, and I couldn't even bring myself to walk by it because I saw all of the Ohtani jerseys out in front, and my son was making fun of me because I think I did cry a little bit. But one of the positives, if there is a positive, one of the positives is that the discussion of getting Ohtani to the playoffs is now not a part of the Angels community anymore. Mm-hmm. And that pressure is gone. But Trout's still on the team.
Right.
And they still want to get him to the playoffs.
Right.
But the big question that I think the Angels have to wrestle with this year, and Angel fans are asking, is the pressure off this team because Shohei is gone? And I guess an even deeper question is, was there even pressure? And indications are, Johnny, and nobody outright said there was a lot of pressure, but indications are that there was some pressure, there was some weight based off of the questions that were asked and the answers that were given by the players last year. Like, for example, when asked about the playoffs and Ohtani's final year before the season started last year, Taylor Ward said, "We want to get Mike and Shohei to the playoffs because they deserve to be there." And then when he was asked about the key to getting there, Ward said what all of us have been saying, and it's this: if our big boys can stay healthy, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll make the playoffs. It's always about staying healthy. But Ward wasn't the only guy that was asked. There were a few other guys that were asked, including Mike Trout. Johnny, share what Trout had to say, and this was before the season started, when asked, "What about Shohei leaving this team, staying on this team, and getting to the playoffs?"
Yeah, he said, you know, this has to be the year for sure. This has got to be the year. It's got to be. You know, we all know that it wasn't the year, and the big guys did get hurt, like Taylor Ward was mentioning. So that none of that happened this year, Mike. And the question here is the pressure gone? Because perhaps the pressure to get Ohtani and Trout to the playoffs isn't there, but I will say that before Ohtani arrived and became the unicorn, it was all about getting Mike Trout
right
to the playoffs.
Right.
And so
he was the solution to that, right? Like, he was supposed to be the guy that was supposed to help do that, right?
Right. And they just didn't put enough around those two to even help get them there. And so I don't think that the pressure to win is gone, but I do think that the pressure of getting like playoffs or bust is there. Now, obviously, every team wants to get to the playoffs. That's why you do this dang thing. But if there's forward progress in the sense that, oh, I don't know, the Angels aren't a sub 500 team this year, like, that might be a good step in the right direction.
Right.
But at the same time, it seems like all indications are that Trout and the young guys really want to win. In fact, when asked about the last season and how he felt about this losing season, Trout said, "If you're not upset or frustrated when you're losing, you shouldn't be playing." And then Logan Ohapi was asked about the pressure to win, and he responded by saying that my offseason is going to be all focused on having a better result next year. It's not just going to be making sure I'm getting my lifts in or going to train the right way. It's going to be everything, making sure everyone in here is doing what they can to do the same thing. I'm going to do everything I can because this is not fun.
No,
thank
not at
you.
All.
Thank you, Logan. Thank you for being the voice of the fans.
Yeah. Zach Neto said something similar, Johnny. He said, "I know what I've got to work on. Now, when I get back home, I know what I have to do to make sure that I become a better player and better player next season. It just takes some time. It takes a whole lot of effort. And hopefully I have the right group of people when I get back home and all the resources I need to come back and be a better player." Johnny, on a side note, Neto's impact on this team was like no other player, not Ohtani and not Trout, because when he was in this lineup, when he started, the Angels were 39-39. When he didn't start, the Angels were 32-49.
Yeah.
And so he was somebody that really made an impact. And somebody else who made an impact was Nolan Schoenewell. And Schoenewell, when he was asked about the pressure to win, he said, I just want to win a pennant. Like, he went right to it, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I want to make it to the World Series. I want to win a World Series. And that's our team-oriented goals right now. So I think that the pressure to get Ohtani to the playoffs is obviously not something that they're thinking about because Ohtani's not here anymore. But I don't think that the pressure to win has gone. And it sounds like these young guys really want to win. And it sounds like they're tired of this losing culture. And it sounds like they're going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that they win. I guess the question is, Johnny, if they're looking at the front office, is the front office going to do anything that's necessary? Everything that's necessary to try to help this team win.
Well, they haven't done it yet. I mean, they've added nothing but depth pieces and a few bullpen arms. So if they're going to take a big swing and try to improve this team to help get those guys there, especially the ones that you put in the quotes here, Mike, that we heard from, like Neto and Ohapi and Schoenewell and even Trout, those are the guys I want to see win because yes. I know that they care.
Yeah.
And so far, the front office hasn't done nearly enough to help out those guys. I had a thought about this whole conversation because I knew that we were having it today. And here's the thing, like the pressure of like whatever perceived pressure is there to get Trout and Ohtani to the playoffs, that obviously is gone because it's no longer a factor. But I almost think the pressure is on in some ways, Mike, because if you're Patrick Sandoval, do you just expect to wake up and be in this five-man rotation next season? If you're Reed Detmers or Chase Silseth or Canning or even Tyler Anderson, do you just wake up and assume like, yeah, I'm going to be in the rotation? I don't think that's there anymore. Mm. And I think it was there before because yes, you needed Detmers and Sandy and Anderson in the rotation last season because they were your best available options to get to the playoffs. But I mean, look, I just got finished talking about how I don't think Zach Plesac is a lock for the rotation because he's an innings guy. But Mike, what if he comes into spring training and gives Patrick Sandoval a run for his money? You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
No longer can these guys just wake up and go, yeah, I'm in the rotation. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I think that actually adds more pressure for these guys to be good and do the things that they're supposed to do and not throw fits and be upset and have bad attitudes and stuff. Rendon's another one. Do they need Rendon over at third base? Well, not necessarily because he hasn't been there the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And so to me, I just think like, hey, if you want to be on this team, you got to put your best foot forward. And so perhaps the mindset there of you know, that there's pressure to make the team and earn your spot. Maybe that's the pressure that's there. What do you think?
I love that idea because this team has no expectations. I know that they want to compete and they want to get to the playoffs. That's what Perry has said. But the truth is there's no expectations. And so they don't necessarily need you in those spots. They don't necessarily need you to start, Sandoval. They don't necessarily need you at third base, Rendon. Mm-hmm. Sure, they're paying you a lot of money, but now they've already paid you a bunch of money.
Yeah,
you haven't done a thing.
Right.
And this team isn't expected to go very far. And so I wonder if that conversation is a part of the conversation with Ron Washington coming to this team and maybe in the front office, like, let's see what these guys can actually do because your bad attitude sucks. You're throwing the fit sucks. And you got to fix it. You got to be better. And maybe that's one of the reasons why this team hasn't been very good because they haven't had a leader on this team to tell them you're not in the lineup anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're terrible.
Up.
You're not doing it. And that might be what Ron Washington brings. And it may be why they haven't made any moves yet because they're trying to still figure out if they want to bring anybody in or if they just want to let the kids play and not guarantee that they have a spot, but let the kids play and let's see what they can do. And as you've said, let's see what we have because this would be the year to figure that out.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% in terms of figuring it out, letting the guys who show a desire to be there play every single day that they can because, you know, these quotes from Neto and Ohapi and Schoenewell, it gets me excited to see these guys on the field in 2024.
Johnny, the hitting coach has been a point of frustration for the Angel fandom over the last few years.
Yeah.
Marcus Thames wasn't that bad last year, had some successes, was probably one of the better bench coaches that we had on this team, right?
Let's clarify there because what he came in doing was telling the hitters to be aggressive early in the count. If it's in the zone, then swing on it. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we were like, okay, that's an approach, like singular. That's an approach.
Yep.
But Mike, the hitters didn't make any adjustments.
No.
When they had runners on second and third and you needed to hit it the other way, or you didn't need to swing for the fences. You just needed some contact. You needed a sacrifice fly or what have you. But that was a step above, and it wasn't very hard for Marcus Thames to be better than Jeremy Reed, who the prior year that we were doing this show, I said the Angels are approachless. They don't have an approach at the plate. And I think that Marcus Thames coming in gave them some sort of function and some sort of an approach at the plate. Now, with Johnny Washington, I just reread his Q&A with Sam Blum, and it sounds like he really wants to work on an individual basis with each of the hitters, not come in with a uniform sort of approach to the plate, but come in and play to these guys' strengths and help them figure out what they're good at.
Yeah. And the reason why I love that is because it seems like that was the approach that they took with Cody Bellinger last year, who of course was with the Cubs, and Johnny Washington was an assistant hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
Bellinger's 2022 versus 2023 was pretty different. Here's the stat line, Johnny. 2022, a .210 batting average, .265 on base, and a .389 slugging. And the guy had 38 walks and 150 Ks. Last year, .307 batting average, .356 on base, .525 slugging with 40 walks. And look at this, 87 Ks.
Yeah.
So went from 150 to 87. In 2023, Bellinger had his lowest average exit velocity, 87.9, and hard hit percentage, 31.4 of his career, but he had one of his best careers ever. So, Johnny, how is that possible? We have two ideas here. Why don't you share the first?
Yeah, the first one is he lowered his strikeout percentage in his career at 15.6%, and then he had the lowest walk percentage of his career at 7.2%. So here's what that means. He put more baseballs in play, and he was aggressive early in the counts. And when he had two strikes on him, he made the adjustment, Mike. Right. He wasn't trying to swing for the fence
in
an 0-2 count. Just decided to shorten up and make some contact. And when you sacrifice power for contact, your average exit velocity is going to come down. Your hard hit percentage is going to come down. And that's the one thing that, like, old school guys who talk with us and talk baseball with us will say, like, it's not all about the exit velocity and the hard hit percentage. And it's like, it's really not all about that. Like, those numbers, having high numbers in that is fantastic, and you should want that.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's all about. It's not just about hitting the ball hard anymore. It's putting the ball where the defenders aren't. And that's something that Cody Bellinger did really well. It makes sense because he had the second most batted balls in his career at 424, even though his barrel rate percentage was the worst of his career at 6.1%. So again, he made the adjustment, he shortened up, wasn't trying to swing for the fences every time he was up there, especially in the counts where you can't be swinging for the fences. You just got to make contact. And I think the more we've talked about Bellinger, the more I've started to come around on the idea that, hey, I think this is all repeatable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is all stuff that stays with you, especially at 28 years old. You're in the prime of your career.
Right.
I think that he could upkeep this next season if the Angels wanted to go after him. That's just me.
Well, and the point is that this is what Johnny wants to bring to the Angels, is that he wants to
bring talking about Washington. I got all caught up in what Bellinger could do for us. My bad.
But the idea is that what he did with Bellinger was personal to him, and he could do this for the Angels.
Yes.
So here's the second thing that he did. Bellinger had a better attack angle and was staying in the zone longer. He had a 17.2 launch angle compared to a 22.2 and a 20.3 when he had back-to-back really bad years. And that resulted in his second highest sweet spot percentage of his career, which by MLB is defined as batted balls between the launch angle of 8 to 32 degrees. So Bellinger had a personal approach that was brought to him by the hitting coach of the Cubs and by the assistant hitting coach, Johnny Washington, who is ours. So, Johnny, what does this say about Johnny Washington and what he can do for this team this year in Anaheim?
I think it's going to be a good improvement, because you and I have seen the way that the Angels all adopted that Marcus Thiem approach of hitting the ball as hard as you can when it's in the zone, and certainly paid off, Mike. The Angels hit a lot of home runs, but the problem with that is they came at the wrong time, and they came with nobody on base most of the time.
Yeah.
And when they did have runners in scoring position, they were still trying to do that, and they would swing right through it. Now, we had this conversation last week about Matt Theis. I think that that's one guy who is very Bellinger-esque. He's a left-handed bat with a lot of power, and the numbers show that Matt Theis has a lot of power in his swing. He just doesn't have the results, and it's because of the lack of contact. Again, he was under 70% contact rate in the zone, and so for Matt Theis, he did a lot of swinging and missing. I think if Johnny Washington works with these guys on an individual level and can identify specific things that are wrong with each guy, look, if we can sit here and do it and notice things about Matt Theis or whoever is up there at the dish, certainly Johnny Washington can do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. He gave Cody Bellinger an opportunity to focus on where he's really good, and perhaps he can help the team do the same thing. What I loved about what Bellinger did last year is what the Angels needed. Put the ball in play. And when you put the ball in play, good things happen. And you just mentioned it. It doesn't matter how hard you hit the ball. It's about staying through the baseball and hitting up the middle with your swing. And that is something that the Angels didn't do well last season, especially with runners on. And so I'm looking forward to what Johnny can do with hitters in this lineup specifically, and maybe even with Mike Trout, who did swing and miss a lot last season.
Another one.
And needs to adjust. And he's got the king of adjustments. We did a whole show about that. But maybe Johnny can help him adjust even more and be somebody who has a higher batting average. Maybe not as much power, but a higher batting average and be more successful this season.
I do like the approach of taking the individual steps with each guy and helping them improve in specific ways rather than a one-size-fits-all sort of approach. We're really learning that a one-size-fits-all approach from your coaching staff is not the play for the Angels.
No, not for the Angels at all, right? Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Remember, everydayers, you can have your second listen be the Locked On Sports Today channel. It's a 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube, and they're here for you, covering the top sports stories of the day with local experts of Locked On, like John and I, plus our national shows covering every league. Locked On Sports Today on YouTube. You can go there today for your second listen, and you could subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel.
Hey, give us a follow on Twitter at LockedOnAngels and on Twitter and Instagram at SuperHaloBros. Again, if you have the time, please vote for us for the best baseball podcast. The link is in the episode description below. Mike, what do we have on deck for tomorrow's show?
Johnny, there are 1,458 innings in a regular MLB season, and teams need pitching for all of those innings. And with Shohei gone, the Angels are likely to move to five-man rotation in 2024. We know that 200 innings has been the standard in years past, and it means you're excellent, and maybe things are going to change, and maybe they can go a little bit lower, but nobody on this team has ever pitched 180 innings in one season in their career. So, Johnny, tomorrow we're going to talk about, is it time for these guys to step up? And how many years does it typically take a starter to reach 200 innings in this day and age? We'll talk about that tomorrow on Locked On Angels.
Looking forward to that. We hope you'll come back and join us for that. Until then, my name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Thanks for being here with us, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.